Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you could turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. Then I thought it was interesting after that he preached on the parable of the talents. Matthew 25:14. Again, heaven's kingdom realm is like the wealthy man who went on a long journey and summoned all his trusted servants and assigned his financial management over to them. Before he left on his journey, he entrusted a bag of 5,000 gold coins to one of his servants, to another bag, 2,000 gold coins, to a third, a bag of 1,000 gold coins, each according to their ability to manage. The one entrusted with the 5,000 coins immediately went out and traded with the money, and he doubled his investment. In the same, the one who was entrusted with 2,000 gold coins traded with the sum and likewise doubled the investment. But the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now I want you to get this. What God is saying in this parable is he has given every single person something of value that he's given you to bring increase to his kingdom. It's to bring increase to his kingdom. Now he's showing money here, but it can be what are you doing to increase what he gave you for his kingdom? It's what did he put in you that he expects that you're going to give back to him and have a great time doing it? I can see why he's shaking America. We are such a nation of retirement and vacations and let's do this and let's do that. We are one of the most self-centered, selfish, caring about self people probably on the planet almost, because we have it so good for the most part. And the Lord's like, wait a minute. This is his end time message, right? This is his message before he goes to the cross. Before he goes to the cross, he tells us of this great wedding party, this great feast. And he tells us what he's going to be, what those people in that hour are going to have to be thinking about and doing. And I think it's for all time, actually. The Bible was written for everybody after the new covenant. But then he goes from that and he starts talking about money. He starts talking about investing. He starts talking about bringing increase. After much time passed, the master returned to settle accounts with his servants. The one who was entrusted with 5,000 gold coins came and brought 10,000, saying, "See, I have doubled your money." Commending his servant, the master said, "You have done well and proven yourself to be loyal and trustworthy. Because you have been a faithful steward to manage a small sum, now I will put you in charge of much, much more. You will experience the delight of your master, who will say to you, 'Come celebrate with me.'" This is the Passion Translation. Then the one who had been entrusted with 2,000 gold coins came in and said, "See, my master, I've doubled what you have entrusted to me." Commending his servant, the master replied, "You have done well. You've proven yourself to be trustworthy and loyal. Because you were faithful to manage a small sum, now I will put you in charge of much, much more. Then you will experience the delight of your master, who will say to you, 'Come, celebrate with me.'" So it seems to me even as God's looking at this kingdom that's coming and what's coming after this and in the millennium, there's something in the Lord that's watching us with what he's given us to see how well we use it, to see if we're good stewards, to see how well we shepherd, to see how much we esteem it, to see how much we enjoy it. Those two guys seem like they enjoyed taking what God had given them and doing increase. Can I say, let's get out of our poverty mentality and let's get out of judging everything and all the lies we've bought, because we need to be the people who I definitely want to be that bride thing, okay? Like, I want to be in that bride thing. So this might be talking more to the men and what they think, motivation. But I also know that whatever he's given me, I do want to honor him with it. I want to do it for his glory. And one thing you can see with these people doubling this, They didn't keep it for themselves. They didn't do it for themselves. They did it for the master. They did it for his kingdom. And God was watching all of that to decide how to reward them. So you have the reward of the one with oil becoming the bride of Christ. And now you have the reward of the one who will serve God and use the gifts and talents to make money, the gifts and talents to bring increase in a way that glorifies God, and they know it's about God watching them. They know it's God wants to see how can you do this. And God didn't say to the one he gave more to that that you're better than the one I'm giving less to. That wasn't his idea at all. His idea was, let me see with what they can handle. And when he says your ability to handle, he knows your background, he knows your circumstances, he knows where you're going to be planted on planet Earth, he knows what it's going to take for you to bring double back to him. In other words, he's made this as fair as it can get. Because he's not looking at who did the most, he's looking at who doubled what they were given. So he then gets to the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins. And he came to his master and said, look, sir, I know that you are a hard man to please, and you're a shrewd and ruthless businessman who grows rich on the backs of others. Okay, can I tell you this guy's problem? He doesn't understand God. He sees God wrong. He sees God through some really bad teaching. He sees God through some hurt places. He sees God and money and the whole idea of making increase. He sees it as something that's impossible to please God because he has mischaracterized God. Does God sit there and try to rationally apologize that he didn't understand about his background? The guy goes on, he says, I was afraid of you. So I went, I hid your money and I buried it in the ground. But here, take it, it's yours. In other words, I had enough fear that I'm not going to spend this and I'm not going to come up shorthanded. When you come back wanting your money, here, take it. So let's see what the Lord says. Angered by what he heard, the master said to him, you're an untrustworthy and lazy servant. If you knew I was shrewd and ruthless and a businessman who always makes a profit, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? That's amazing. Back then they had banks and deposited and made interest. Then I would have received it all back with interest when I returned. So I love how God does this. He cuts right through the poor me, blame God garbage. And he says, okay, if you believe that, then you are worse. Because if you believe that and you were telling me the truth, then you would have taken the money and put it in the bank so it would have at least increased some. But because you just hid it in the ground and did nothing with it, you're not going to blame your laziness and your lazy attitude and the poor me and blaming me. So I can see right through what you're trying to do. And so what happens when somebody chooses to be lazy, when somebody chooses to not care what God has given them and not care that they actually are supposed to do something with it? What does God say? But because you were unfaithful, I will take the 1,000 gold coins and give them to one who has 10,000. For the one who has been given more until he overflows with abundance, and the one with hardly anything, even with little, he has will be taken from him. Then the master said to his other servants, now throw the good for nothing servant far away from me in outer darkness where there will be misery and anguish. It sounds like this man's bitterness and wrong attitude and laziness got him in outer darkness. Now is outer darkness hell? I don't know. Rick Joyner doesn't think it's hell. He thinks it's one of the least enlightened places in heaven. I don't know. It is amazing that God gives it a different name than hell, isn't it? I will say this. Based on that revelation that Rick Joyner has, which I kind of agree with, it means he is so far away from where the Father's throne is. He's so far away from where the city where the bride is, which is so bright. Where the bride is, people, if you study it, there's no need for lights there ever. And he's saying, you're going to be as far away from me, I believe still in the kingdom, as possible because how you misunderstood me and you were lazy and you didn't do anything. So when I read this, what am I thinking? I'm thinking God really has a plan for our future. And I'm thinking that God really sees what we do with what we have and our attitudes. And I would say this, since the enemy knows this, how many know he's really attacking people to have the wrong attitude about money and increase and trying to have them blame someone else? And so I just think it's a powerful end time message in the day that we're living that we help set people free. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man appears in his glory with all his angels by his side, he will take his seat on the throne of splendor, and all the nations will be gathered together before him. Isn't this amazing that God is Jesus is talking about right before the cross, right before his last, and he's got a pretty rough week coming up, all right? He's got a really bad week coming up, and he's sitting there preaching in the anointing, led by Holy Spirit, filled of the Spirit of God, about what is up and coming soon. Okay, for those who want to be part of the bride, this is coming. For those who love business, for those who've been giving something, for those who are looking at how, or what am I going to do? What is God going to give me when I go to his kingdom? He's showing them. And now he's telling us when he takes his seat on the throne of splendor and all the nations are going to be gathered together before him. And like a shepherd who separates the sheep from the goats, he will separate all the people. The sheep who will put on his right side, the goats on his left. Then the king will turn to those on his right and say, you have a special place in my Father's heart. Come and experience the full inheritance of the kingdom realm that has been destined for you from before the foundation of the world. For when you saw him, now, how did God judge who were going to be these people who had a heart for God? A people that God was looking for more, probably more than the person and what he did with money. This is for those, you could almost say this could be for those where there is no money. They can't even hardly bring an increase. You know, what else is God looking at? Look at this, God's last message as he's preaching, and he's telling you this is what we're going to be looking at as soon as I get on the other side of this next week. When I get on the other side of this next week, we're going to be watching and see where is the bride wanting the oil getting ready. We're going to watch and see where is the business people and how are they investing and how do they see money and how do they see God and how are they going to be used in the kingdom? How are they going to be used in the millennium? What are they doing with that? Who's going to be close to me? Who's going to be far from me? Who's going to be close to me? Who's going to be far from me? And now he's talking about a whole different thing, but all in the same understanding. When you saw me hungry, you fed me. When you found me thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I had no place to stay, you invited me in. When I was poorly clothed, you covered me. When I was sick, you cared for me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. The godly will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty and give you food or something to drink? When did we see you with no place to stay and invite you in? When did we see you poorly clothed and cover you? When did we see you sick and cared for you or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer, don't you know? When you care for one of the least important of these my little ones, my true brothers and sisters, you just demonstrated love for me. Wow. God is looking at things so different than people look at things in the world. He's looking for the hungry, the spiritually hungry person who wants to be close to God and have oil. He's looking for the business person or the person who sees what they have and they begin to seek God for wisdom, how to bring increase, how to help the kingdom, how to give back to God what he gave to them. And then he's looking for those who have a heart to take care of the poor, have a heart to take care of those in prison, have a part to take care of the hungry, have a part for the nations. God is not looking at the illegals in this nation the same way many people are. I do believe in many ways it's a judgment on this nation and a judgment on the church for not going to the poor, for not taking care of the hungry, for not taking care of the thirsty, for all the very wealthy people in our nation who never give anything really to anybody to help anybody. And so now we're looking at tons of tax money doing that and tons of all the other things that are going to be stirred up. But here's the big thing when I read this. I have to keep a heart that wants to take care of people. I cannot vilify people and then justify not helping. Which we did find a ministry, by the way, that gives to trying to evangelize and take care of the immigrants, the illegals in our nation. And so whenever you give an offering, if you want to give to that, make sure you put it on your offering. That's not your tithe, that's your offering. God really watches all of this. He really knows where your heart's at. He sees, what are you doing with what I've given you? Are you making something of it? Are you giving it back to me? Are you, what are you doing? And there's other scriptures to go along with all this. But then we see, he goes to the others. Then to those on his left, the king says, leave me, for you are under the curse of eternal fire that has been destined for the devil and his demons. Okay, to those on his left. Now, get this, get how serious it is. Now remember, he told the virgins that they were not coming to the wedding, the ones who were locked out. The ones without oil, he didn't say you were eternally damned, right? He basically said, you cannot be part of this, and you can't come in here. And we do know that's happening during the worst part of tribulation on the planet. Then we look at the next people, and he says to the one who didn't trust him, who saw him wrong, who wouldn't do the right things with money, and he says to him, you're in outer darkness, right? But look what he says to the people who won't take care of other people. Look what he says to the people who actually hardened their heart against human suffering. No wonder the enemy would love to see the whole church harden their heart. No wonder he'd love to laugh at that. We've got to break free from that. It is a scary time. It is a time of, Lord, you're going to have to protect us and help us. It is a time like, how can we do this? But how many know we are here for such a time as this? And I want to pass my test. Okay, I just want to pass my test. I want to keep my heart right no matter what's going on around me. Then to those on his left, the king says, leave me, for you are under the curse of eternal fire that has been destined for the devil and his demons. These people are eternally damned, you guys. These people are going to hell. And then the lake of fire. For when you saw me hungry, you refused to give me food. And when you saw me thirsty, you refused to give me something to drink. I had no place to stay. You refused to take me in as your guest. When you saw me poorly clothed, you closed your hearts and would not cover me. When you saw that I was sick, you didn't lift a finger to help me. And when I was in prison, you never came to visit me. And then those on his left will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, not give you food or something to drink? When did we see you homeless, poorly clothed? When did we see you sick and not in prison and not visit you? Then he will answer them, don't you know? When you refused to help one of the least important among these, my little ones, my true brothers and sisters, you refused to help and honor me. And they will depart from his presence and go into eternal punishment, but the godly and beloved will enter into bliss. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's pretty amazing. I can see why the enemy would like to do whatever he can to harden our hearts against helping the Lord. Helping people who are hurting. So we have to be rescuers. We have to be rescuers. We have to ask God to help us to rescue. We cannot join the bandwagon to hate people. Anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting when I was looking this over in the middle of the night and asking the Lord what was on his heart. And it's amazing how the word is written in such a way to be so timely, isn't it? Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.